The title that the Lord gave me for the message, it's actually a reworked message that I gave many years ago, so it's different now. It's amazing how if you're growing in the Lord, you change. And I've looked at messages that I've done many years ago, and I read them, and my first initial response is, what was I thinking? So the title of the message is The Long and Winding Road. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, Lord, would only be of you. Lord, that whatever is of the flesh would be stricken, whatever is of the ruach that I've missed, that you would bring it forth, Lord. And I pray this in Yeshua's name, amen. So, this message was originally a takeoff off of the Beatles song, The Long and Winding Road. The long and winding road that leads to the door will never disappear. Think about that. The long and winding road that leads to your door that will never disappear. These are the words of Paul McCartney. He wasn't talking about Yeshua, but I am. Sir Paul McCartney now, right? It begins with repentance. Introspection of ourselves and how we have acted. In the whole road, the journey that we're on, at each turn, we need to be introspective, looking at ourselves, where we are, constantly measuring ourselves, not to the world standards, but to the Lord's standards. Because the world standards aren't the Lord's, and they won't count at the judgment. You won't be able to say, but Lord, look how well I did compared to the rest of these nut jobs here in the world. He's going to go, well, that you got the wrong standard. It's only a technicality, Lord, right? No. What I said, I meant. Teshuvah, the Hebrew word for repentance, as I've explained many times, is the process of making a 180-degree turn. Teshuvah is not saying sorry. Yeshuva is about turning away 180 degrees, heading the other way to never enter into that sin again. That is what God is, what he means by teshuva, that you will lay this sin down and you will never do it again. That's hard for some of us, maybe certain sins, but it doesn't change what God defines as repentance. And that's important for us because we live in a world that relies on cheap things, cheap grace, cheap excuses, cheap I'm sorry's. I said it last night, sorry is something we say when we get caught. Teshuvah, repentance, is about turning from our sin. Of course, the first question we should ask is, how do I do that? How do I turn from sin? Is it possible even? I think it's a fair question. Well, my simple answer is yes, of course it's possible. Why? Because the Lord said it was. Moses said it was. Not in our own power or our own flesh, though, but by His Spirit. Amen? The power to overcome sin is through the Ruach of the Lord that He gives us so that we do have the ability to turn. People who say, I'm just too old, I'm too young, I can't teach a dog new tricks or whatever they say, isn't true. By His Spirit, He delivered us. It was not on the ground of any righteous deeds that we have done, but on the ground of His own mercy. He did it by means of the mikvah, the immersion of rebirth, and the renewal brought about by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And that is a verse from Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Now, some of us may say, yeah, I know that. But then we always fall back. We fall down. And we go, I couldn't do it. I can't do it. I've said for many years that I won't accept from anybody that they can't do it. I will accept you won't do it. But through the Holy Spirit, you can do anything He has called you to do. It's your excuse and the limitations you place on yourself that allows you to say, I can't do it. So as some of these lyrics from this song, this Beatles song, we are all on a long and winding road to a door that will never disappear. For us, behind the door stands Yeshua the Messiah. So at sundown this evening, the 10 days of awe begin. In the context of the past 12 months, it is the end of a long and winding road for most of us, if not all of us. We can say silly things like, thank God that year's over. Has anybody said that? I'm sure everybody, we all have had. That was a horrible year. Thank the Lord it's done. I can't go through another one of those years. Of course, we say something, I refuse to go through that again. And the Lord's going, well, I may have you do that. Yet it's the beginning and the continuation of a long and winding road that began the long and winding road that leads to our Messiah. Every day and every moment of our lives, even before we're born, the Lord knew us in the womb before we were born, is a day the Lord is aware of and is a day that is part of the journey, whether we like it or not. Some have a journey, they never make it out of the womb. Some have a journey that they're very young when they pass away, and some middle-aged, some very old. But the journey nonetheless is the journey is for everyone. It doesn't really matter how long it is in the Lord's eyes. The matter is, how was the journey? How did you do on the journey? The long and winding road. How are we with curves? When Hasatan throws a curveball at you, how do we handle it? Well, clearly that's why I didn't play professional baseball. I can't hit a curveball. In fact, I can't hit a fastball. I can't even hit slow pitch. So there's a lot of struggles for us, and there's a lot of comparisons that we can make in the world or analogies about the long and winding road. And one of the issues is that most of us complain through the whole journey. Job shows us a different picture. Paul shows us a different picture of the journey, how we should relate to the journey, the things we like, the things we dislike. Because in the Lord's eyes, it's not a matter of what you personally like or dislike. It's a matter of if you are going to be obedient. And one of the things that I caution is, don't be a bobblehead. When you hear stuff, you agree with it, you better be doing it. We just read from one of the verses that says that the Lord really does not allow for divorce. Yet, we go about our way. We get fed up with whatever the relationship is, and we say, well, I have a right to get divorced. No, you have no rights to get divorced unless it's adultery. And even then, the Lord expects you to work on it. When you get divorced for anything but adultery, you become an adulterer or an adulteress. That's not really the focus of the message, but it's what God defines within our walk and the challenges. It's not what we decide it should be. We all have tough times, whether it's as a single person, a widowed person, a married person, somebody isn't married yet. These things that God brings upon us, these challenges within this journey, the long and winding road, are designed so that we actually can get to the end of the journey and the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. The problem is most of us tend not to focus on the end game until we're old enough to appreciate, heck, I got less years left than I had. Isn't that true? More people come to faith in middle age and later. Why? Because mortality kicks in. Darn, I better start thinking about what I do so that I can make it into the eternal kingdom. But if that's the only reason you do it, it ain't going to help anyway. The long and winding road leads us to the Mashiach Yeshua. It always has. It always has. Moses' journey, Abraham's journey, led them to the Messiah. Abraham ate with the Messiah. Did he recognize him as Yeshua? No. But they knew what God promised. Just like with the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, God promised that they were going to come back. Abraham didn't know if he was going to supply something or he was going to resurrect Isaac. He didn't know, but he was trusting. He didn't want to kill his son, right? I mean, I don't want to do this, but he was obedient to God. And are we obedient? And there's a dramatic example of, are we obedient? Are you willing to give to God by faith everything he asked for, or do you complain about it and reject him and get stubborn about it? We all have a little bit of stubborn in us, so don't beat yourself up too much until you realize that all you are is stubborn. Which is a real thing. If you complain at every turn of the road about your circumstance, you are in rebellion to the Lord. You are not willing to submit to his spiritual authority, and in many cases submit to the spiritual authority that he provides for you, hopefully in a good synagogue or a good church where they operate in the Word of God. And what I have found is that for me, over the years, the more you operate in the Word of God, the more people complain about the leaders. True. It is a true thing. I believe all of creation will face the King. To spend a moment in this world accepting his grace and forgiveness and renouncing our sins, or facing him rejecting the gift of eternal life by rejecting him, choosing another long, winding road to hell. You know, I think the roads, the journeys that people make, there are great similarities in the journey, but people ultimately choose whether they're going to be going to eternal life with the Lord or they're going to eternal damnation. Yet, if you kind of looked at the walks and the journeys, there's a lot of similarities in them. It's the choices we make in that walk that determines where you're going to end up and our hard attitude about it. Did you complain every day of your life and be dissatisfied? Your walk's in trouble. Regina always complains that I see the glass half full, and she says I can't even see the glass sometimes. Is that you? Which one are you? Can you see the glass and is it half full, or you can't find the glass at all, or it's totally empty and dry? Yeshua offers a way out of our evil willfulness. Thank God that he gives us a way out for our intentional evil willfulness. I'm not talking about the sins you don't know. We have enough time dealing with the sins you do know. Lord's grace will cover the sins you're not aware of if you are a believer in him. But we can't get straight on the things we know we do. Isn't that the truth? Yeshua offers us a way out of our willful evil. For if you live according to your old nature, you will certainly die. That's pretty clear, right? But if by the Spirit you keep putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. That's Romans 8:13. That's telling us if you are willing to turn your life over to the Messiah, it's all going to work out. If you don't, you're going to die not only a physical death, you're going to die a spiritual death. None of us should be focused on the flesh, but on the Spirit. Because the flesh is got an expiration date on it. The eternal life doesn't have an expiration date on it. But we all tend to focus on the flesh. What makes me feel good now? What looks good to me now? And the problem is that it doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve our Messiah either. The blast of the shofar last night and this morning is Yeshua's calling card. Tying in what we're doing here today. The blast of the shofar yesterday and today is Yeshua's calling card. He's calling to us. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God chose you as first fruits for deliverance by giving you the holiness that has its origin in the Spirit and the faithfulness that has its origin in the truth. Wow, that's a great scripture. God chose you as first fruits for deliverance by giving you the holiness that has its origin in Him, the Ruach, and the faithfulness that it has in the origins of the truth. So, if you're struggling with your faithfulness, if you tap into the Holy Spirit, you can be faithful. But if your flesh is willful and you're willful, you do whatever you want. And the Lord is checking the list. He's saying, you're stubborn, you're willful, I've given you the ability to change, and you're not. You might not like hearing that. You might want to deal with it, though. Whether we accept it or not, we are on a clock. And time is running out. It matters what you did yesterday. It matters what you do today. It matters what you do tomorrow. The great thing, though, is if we're willing to truly repent, everything that was in the past was a negative. The Lord's going to wash it away. That's incentive, isn't it? Should be. If we really believe in the Messiah, we believe in the kingdom of God, that should be a great incentive for us to lay down the hardness of our heart and our willful ways, that we can take advantage of God's mercy and His grace, and that when we receive the Holy Spirit, He will help us in our walk going forward. If we just remain the way we were, you know, it's that old putting nails in your own coffin. I think a lot of the things we talk about during this feast cycle, Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur in particular, should be sobering thoughts. Yes, we can find joy in Yom Teruah when we put our trust and faith in the Messiah. If your trust and faith is not in the Messiah, Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur have no joy. The road has always been there. The road has always been right in front of us. Why? Because the Lord offers a road to all of us. So what matters, will we accept the challenge? You know, it's interesting. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that the Lord doesn't tempt mankind with anything that is not common to mankind. You can't go around in your life brooding that God gave you too much to handle, because the Word says that's not true. And how is that? How can that be? Because in the Spirit will equip us whatever we need to get through the test that is thrown at us. But if you're not in the Spirit, you are going to suffocate and drown in your own blood. This is fun so far, right? A quote from The Long and Winding Road. I've seen that road before. It always leads me to your door. You know, if you can use Paul McCartney's words, it's already better than words I got, right? But you're on that road, and what we can take, Yeshua is saying, if you're on the road, if you're following that road and you're looking for me, I'm going to be there. You're going to see me, and I'm going to help you all the way. If you're not in the Messiah, the road you're on is going to end in death, and it's really going to stink. Because there's no hope. If you don't have Messiah, there's just no hope. You know, growing up in an Orthodox world, and once when I came to realize that I had an experience with the Holy Spirit and realizing that Yeshua was real, I realized that most of my life I had been brought up in a dead end. Judaism is a dead end without the knowledge of the Messiah. It's a dead end. It can't go anywhere. It's why it doesn't make sense to live an Orthodox lifestyle, in the sense that they think they earn their place in heaven. You can't earn your place in heaven. Without the Messiah, without knowing who he is, that culture is dead. The door of judgment and forgiveness. That door. Yeshua is the door of judgment and forgiveness. He is also the door of righteousness. For the Messiah himself died for sins once and for all, a righteous person on behalf of unrighteous people, so that he might bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but brought to life by the Spirit. That's from 1 Kefa, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Along the road, the long and winding road, is shalom, peace, spiritual peace. God doesn't promise peace in the flesh. There is no peace in the flesh in this world until Satan is destroyed in the lake of fire. And I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. Nobody does. But the point being, the important aspect is understanding what's going on, what Yeshua has done for us, and the opportunity we have. The peace that we need to be looking for is the peace that transcends all understanding. And that's not a world peace. That is in our relationship with the Mashiach. How else, if you're really in faith, Daniel was at peace in the lion's den. Why? I think we throw most of you in a lion's den. There's going to be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth, and lion's teeth. We have a choice on how we pay, our own flesh or accept the free pass, right? From the prophet Micah in chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, it says, "Who is a God like you? You pardoning the sin and overlooking the crimes of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in grace." So the Lord is more than willing to pour out his grace. If you've been stubborn and willful and sinful, if you repent and turn, he wants to pour his grace out on you. But it doesn't come if you're just a sinner and you don't care. But he loves his creation. He loves each of us, but he hates sin, and he's looking for us. And he's given us Messiah so that we have a way to find our way out of the muck and mire of the flesh and being under the influence of the adversary. We're still going to get poked at with a stick by the adversary. But through the Spirit, we can conquer all that. Does anybody here think that Job is better than us? The difference in Job was he was a righteous man. Because he trusted the Lord. He didn't say he was a great businessman. He didn't say he was successful in anything else. It just said he was a righteous man. And what that meant was he was willing to trust the Lord no matter what. The devil didn't believe it, so the Lord releases Jonah to him, except for killing him, and the devil says, "Well, I'll prove to you he's not a righteous man." He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. You will throw all their sins in the depths of the sea. Now, there is a correlation to, you know, this afternoon, for those that come, we're going to do tashlich. It's a traditional gathering where we take bread and we cast it onto the waters. Why? Because it's a symbol exactly of what Micah is talking about, that the Lord will take those sins away from us, and we cast those sins. And the bread is a symbolization of sin, right? Goes back to Passover. This is all connected together. So the leaven, we cast the leaven onto the water, and it symbolizes that the Lord is willing to take that sin away from us. You have to do Tashlich? Of course not. Most people come enjoy it. And if you're hungry, eat some bread. You will throw all their sins into the depths of the sea. We have a God that loves us so much, He is willing to pardon us of all our transgressions. But we do have to accept the blood of Messiah along the long and winding road. Oh Lord, forgive us our sins against our fellow man, our brothers and our sisters, because that's where it starts. Establish in our hearts, love your neighbor as yourself. We do this with our lips first, followed by our actions and our deeds. That's repentance. Repentance is confessing it, and then the actual repentance is stop doing that. Actions always speak louder than words. That's why Yeshua backed up his words with his own actions. If we're supposed to be an example of the Messiah, then our lives have to be the testimony, not our lips. It starts with your lips, but it doesn't end with your lips. Take words with you and return to Adonai. Say to him, forgive all guilt and accept what is good. We will pay instead of bulls the offerings of our lips. Hosea 2, chapter 12, verses 2 through 3. It starts with the lips there. I will hear their disloyalty. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from him. Hosea 12, 4. There's an action because the words are just the beginning. And it's not our power in that we transform. It is in the power of Yeshua's love through the Ruach HaKodesh. On the long and winding road, we are stumblers and bumblers, aren't we? We're all stumblers and bumblers. I just like saying it. Stumblers and bumblers. Without God, lost in the sin of our flesh, knock on the door of the Messiah, and we should do it today. We all have things to repent and correct, and it's never too late until it's too late. And unless you can tell me when the Lord's coming, you should be right today, because tomorrow may be too late. Knock on the door of the Messiah today. I'm sorry. Not in a worldly sense. I have been wicked. Acknowledge your wickedness. But with that, when you acknowledge wickedness, there has to be something else we say, which is, but I desire to be broken by you, O Lord, to be transformed by you. Because wickedness goes on unless you're willing to be broken by the Lord our God. Rav Shaul says, we are like a letter written not in sin, but with holy ink. You are a letter from the Messiah placed in our care, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not one stone tablets, but on human hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. The Lord has put us in a position, He's designed us, that we can make it through our rebellion. We can make it through the ugliness of our wickedness. We can do it if we're willing to lay it down. And He gives us that ability through His Spirit. I know I'm being redundant here because I need to. And the Lord is redundant all the time about how we should govern ourselves. Do not govern yourself by the flesh. I guarantee you every decision you make in the flesh ultimately will be the wrong decision. You may not know it at the moment you do it, but sin catches up with you, doesn't it? It always does. How many people think you did a sin and there was no consequences, so you think you got away with it? The ultimate judgment's at the end. That God doesn't always bring judgment when you do it then, does He? He don't forget that way. The Lord is not too busy to watch all of us all the time. How many, if I had a nickel for every time somebody said to me, the Lord's really busy, he doesn't watch me. I'd be just somewhere in the Bahamas enjoying a Mai Tai or something. I don't drink, so I don't know. A ginger ale with a little, you know, umbrella in it and orange juice or something. I'm not calling it a Shirley Temple. I'm bigger than that. Okay. The Lord is looking for us to show that we are more like Him. We're supposed to be growing into His image. The wild and windy night that the rain washed away has left a pool of tears crying for the day. By leaving me standing here, let me know the way. Many times I've been alone and many times I've cried. Any way you've never known the many ways I've tried. Sounds like scripture, but it's Paul McCartney in The Long and Winding Road. I don't know much of a believer Paul is, if he is at all. But in a lot of these verses in this song, he's exemplifying the heart of God. Maybe he doesn't know it. The only part Sir Paul got wrong is the last phrase, which says, you will never know. Our Lord knows it all. He knows the triumph and He knows the sorrows. The Lord's heart cries for us. In the shofar calls for thousands of years, those calls are talking about God crying for His creation, grieving for His congregation. It's the reason Yeshua comes. God loves His creation. He desires that they can be reconciled. Let us, as Moses says, exhorts, hear, O heavens, as I speak, listen, earth, to the words from my mouth, for I will proclaim the name of Adonai. Come, declare the greatness of our God. The rock, His work is perfect, for all of His ways are just. He is not corrupt. The defect is in His children, a crooked and perverted generation. We could just put a little S on there now, generations. You foolish people, so lacking in wisdom, it was He who formed and prepared you. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1 and verse 3 through 6. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Yeshua, which means Adonai saves, because He will save His people from their sins, Matthew 1 and 21. Hosanna! We are saved. At least we're put in a saved position. But do we accept the work of the Lord that will redeem us? Or do we keep looking back? But still they lead me back to the long and winding road. You left me standing here a long, long time ago. Don't leave me waiting here. Lead me to your door. That's Paul McCartney, some of the verses. But what he's pleading Yeshua's heart. He's pleading a heart of somebody that recognizes that they're corrupt and that they desire to be reconciled. Oh, Lord God, Yeshua, lead me back to the door where I can be saved, where I can be restored into right relationship. But you see, we have to want to. We have to want to be restored. We have to want to get on track. It's a lonely place without the Messiah. If you're not a believer, it is a lonely place and it is a miserable world. It's twice as miserable without the Messiah. Without the Messiah, you have nowhere to go, nowhere to run spiritually, to hide in His arms, in His wings. We are all, at times, some more than others, we are distracted by Hasatan. On this journey we're on, HaSatan is always looking to get you off the road. He's not looking to get you off the road. He's looking to kill you. He may not kill you physically, but if he kills you spiritually, it's the same thing. Dying without the Messiah means you're not going to heaven. The Lord's not going to say, you know, you go to the pearly gates and you say, Lord, but I was planning next week to come to you. Can you cut me a break? He won't cut you a break. That's why he says, be ready before I come. What if you die in a car accident? What if you step off a curb and you get hit by a bus? What if lightning strikes you? None of us plan that kind of stuff. Where are you at? Why do I have such a sense of urgency, not only for all the congregation, but in particular our youth? Some of our youth, I know they don't like me. I'm not here for them to like me. I want to show them that I love them and that I am concerned. As I'm concerned for everybody. I have an obligation to help prepare and exhort each person to a relationship with the Messiah. It's on my watch. If you're in this house, it's on my watch. Yeshua wasn't very well liked. And the apostles weren't very well liked. Why? Because people don't like being held accountable. I'm not interested in running people's lives, but I'm interested in helping you get to eternity. I can barely run my own life. We're distracted by Satan. He throws potholes at us. He even throws sinkholes. And sometimes at times it seems that the road completely disappears, doesn't it? I'm lost. What happened to the road? I'll give you an example of that. Over the years, I've hunted many years, and there were times you go deep into the woods. I don't do that anymore. But then it's time to go home, and this was before GPS, and you realize, I can't find the trail that I came in on. Oh, no. And now you have a compass, and you use it, but it's not an exact science, right? But I was confident going in, but then I got off the road, and then I started to panic. I remember I think I was 12 or 13, and I was hunting with my dad, and we shot a deer, and we gutted, but it got dark, and we had never been there before, and we got lost. I took it like a man. I cried like a baby. We're lost. We're never going to get out. We put the deer in a tree so the bears and animals couldn't get at it. My dad says, we'll come and get it back tomorrow. I said, they're not going to be here tomorrow. We're lost. Oh. He got me out. He got us out. It was a few hours later. There's a lot of funny stories about that. Some of them can be humbling. We need to stay on the road, right? It seems like sometimes we're in a fog. When you've lost the sight of the road and you're in a fog and life isn't going well, you should take a look at why isn't it? What's going on? And the first place you should start is your relationship with God or the lack of it, so that you can kind of feel, why is this happening? And how do I get out? Stay on the road. Yom Teruah and the days of awe, and yes, even Yom Kippur, are appointed, anointed times for us to reflect on our lives, our relationship with God, and our relationship with others. It's not good enough for us to just let life take its course. The song that says, don't worry, be happy, is a problem. There's more to life than saying, don't worry, be happy. get a lot of that's how we operate. It's amazing how that's emphasized when you're drinking or smoking marijuana or something like that, right? Yeah, things are good. The Lord is not looking for drifters, but doers driven by a desire to have eternal relationships with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who don't have to be victims. You don't have to be victims. Don't have a victim mentality. In Deuteronomy 39:29, it says, if they were wise, they could figure it out and understand their destiny. That's an interesting scripture. If they were wise, they could figure it out and understand their destiny based on a relationship in the Lord, is what it's talking about. See me and you will find the source of all truth and your way. Yeshua leads us to the door, his door. Yeshua has not left us out along the winding road to destruction, but that road that we're on is for eternal life if we're willing to choose that road. Yeshua said, enter through the narrow gate. People quote it and they don't have a clue what it means. It means life is tough and difficult, and the choices we make have to be narrow, because most of the choices the world makes is sinful. Most of the choices we are positioned to make, they tend to be sinful. The road is narrow. The gate is narrow. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. The world's road leads to destruction. It's wide and it offers all kinds of things that tickle our ears or tickle our eyes or tickle our nose or tickle our tummies or whatever. The wide road is never the right road. He's the Lord has expectations for us. He has standards for us. For the wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Let us each be those that do not choose the wide road, that we will choose the narrow road. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Let me give you a visual based on Scripture. Our congregation. Everybody look around at each other. Come on, all should be looking at somebody. Looking at yourself doesn't count. The Lord says only 50% will be ready. Half of you won't be there in the end. I'm just saying, based on the Scriptures, half of you won't be there. Which one aren't going to be there? Think about it. Which you can know if you're going to be there or not. I believe that. It's not about being perfect. It's not about getting everything right. But we can know if you're ready. If you're walking with the Lord, you will know when He arrives that your lamp is lit. And you're going with them. But isn't that sobering to look here and half of you won't be there? How sad is that? It's sad, and I grieve over that. People get angry at me, and I just say, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do, but I do try to hold people accountable so because in the end that they'll be there. We have found the gate and are on the right road. Remain steady in every situation, enduring suffering. Do the work that a proclaimer of the good news should, and do everything your service to God requires. I have fought the good fight. Have you fought a good fight? Are you even fighting at all? I have finished the race. I don't mean fighting with your husbands or wives or brothers or sisters, but are you fighting the good fight against Hasatan and his minions? I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. All that awaits me now is the crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day when I finish the race, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for him to appear, that have walked the long race, the long road. And that's from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 and verses 7 through 8. The long and winding road that each of us is on is not meant as a trap. The Lord's not trying to trap us. But it is a journey that we can live, learn and live from, with or without the Lord, for it is our choice. Hosea says, the righteous walk in God's ways. If you consider yourself righteous at all in some shape or form, the definition of that is that you walk in God's ways, because if you don't walk in God's ways, there's no sense of righteousness. If you're walking your own path, there's no righteousness in that. When we walk in the Lord's path, the righteousness is His righteousness, which He shares with us when we're obedient. Can I have an amen? Sometimes the long and winding road is a country back road. Sometimes it's a super highway. Either way, Yeshua is on it with us. Yeshua knows all the roads. If we are walking with Messiah, He will get us through when we are in right relationship with Him. The long and winding road leads to forgiveness and indeed salvation. A road that we are never alone on, for the road leads to the Messiah. Amen.